for the Word of God in Scripture, for the Word of God among us, for the Word of God sounding and resounding across the congregation, we proclaim thanks be to God. Thank you, Linda, for that dramatic ending to the scripture today, because I think it has that kind of resound, friends. I think this scripture passage wasn't just needed 2,000 years ago. It is so needed right now. You and I live in a divisive time. You and I live in an anxious time. You and I live in a fear-mongering time. This scripture text preaches into our context right here, right now. What does it mean for us to value all people, everyone, to be able to look across and go, I cannot find a single person that I can say, I have no need of you. That no one can look at themselves in the mirror and go, well, I'm not like that other person or that group of people, so I'm not needed. When we go back to the first century in which Paul was writing this, why would Paul write these words? Why would he spill ink on the page for it? Because both within the church, within Judaism, within the pagan Roman Empire, there were levels of people. People who were in and people who were out. People who were considered to be superior and people who were considered to be inferior. And Paul writes his letter to the Corinthians to address this massive problem in society. And 2,000 years later, look where we're at. We need Paul's message right now, right here, in this society, in this world, for our nation, for this community, for our neighborhoods. What does it mean for us to look around our world and go, I value you? Period. No buts, no exceptions, no dot, dot, dot afterwards. I value you. Boom. That's the message of this text. We are all in the body of Christ, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free. Do you know what these categories are in the first century? First off, you have different ethnicities, Jew, Greek. Well, I think we have a lot of ethnic divisions in our own time, don't we? Yeah. And not only that, we have elevated politics to the point where that ideology becomes people's controlling ideology. You know what another word for control is? Lord. But as Christians, we have one Lord and Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior. He is the Lord of our conscience. He's the one driving what we think, how we behave, how we act in the world. And we are His body. That's the point of 1 Corinthians 12. We are Christ's body in the world. We are the eyes. We are the nose. We are the hands. We are the feet. There can be no claim or conscience that says otherwise and is able to claim Jesus Christ is Lord. Our faith drives our beliefs. Our faith drives our values. Our faith should drive our politics. Paul is writing to a whole layer of people here. This early church was severely divided. In the households where the churches would gather, there were these rich owners, and then there were the people who would gather who were citizens of Rome. There were the people who would gather who were citizens and from a Jewish background, and there were the people who were the slaves in the household. Now imagine all those layers of people trying to interact, trying to have some level of Christian love for and with one another. Imagine all of the politics, all of the ideologies, all of the many beliefs, all the cultural backgrounds that go into that. Imagine all of the fighting, division, dissension that that breeds. And if you come from a pagan Roman culture or a religious Jewish culture, and how those things duke it out. From a Roman standpoint, there were slaves and there were citizens. And one was better than the other. In the Jewish mind, they were God's chosen people, and the Greeks were pagans and heathens. In the Roman mind, they were the superior ones. They were the civilized. And everyone else, including those Jewish folks, were not. In the Jewish mind, God had given them the revelation from God. They were literally marked on their bodies. It's this word we use, oh yeah, circumcision. Kind of a big mark. You can laugh there. That said, I'm superior. In the first century, guess what? You went to bathhouses. People saw who was circumcised and who wasn't. Did you ever put that together, friends? Yeah, this was a visible reminder every time they would gather at the public bathhouses in Corinth. Literally, look at me, right? I'm one of God's chosen, you are not. And then from the Roman side, oh my goodness, that is terrible. That is grotesque. And these things, we're all competing in the same space, in the same church. You know what comes right after this text? 1 Corinthians 13. Anyone know what 1 Corinthians 13 is about?
Love.
Love. Love. You know how that text ended? I will show you a more excellent way. It goes right into love and how we love. And how love lasts when nothing else does. That the entire list of gifts, as great as they are, is only partial. It's incomplete. It doesn't get us where the body of Christ needs to go. The most excellent way is love, friends. And so in our divisive world, a world that seems to have existed for at least two millennia, what does it mean for you and I at Grace Presbyterian Church to say, I love everybody? I'm going to hold on to everybody. That I'm not going to make any claim at all that someone else or some group of people doesn't matter or can be let loose or sent away. To be able to say, you matter. And you matter. And you matter. And to be able to look around our world and go, that's the Christian faith at work. What does it mean for us to raise up this idea of being open-minded, being a big tent, of saying that we are young and old, conservative and liberal, Republican and Democrat, evangelical and progressive, and everything in between, and even those of you who hate those labels and can't identify with any of them. What does it mean for us to say, There is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. That is the call of the entire letter of 1 Corinthians. Thank you. That is the letter's meaning in that time. It's the meaning of the letter in this time. It's the meaning of that letter in all of the 2,000 years that have gone on in between. And I promise you, it is the most political message that's ever been shared. Because it challenged the church, it challenged cultures, it challenged ethnicities, it challenged governments, it challenged Caesar himself and all of the Roman religions that propped him up. It goes back to Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar, it goes back to Egypt and Pharaoh. This is the ongoing story of the faith, challenging every religion, every culture, every politic, every empire, every ruler to realize that every single human being is valued and meant to be together. Will you and I be the kind of people who walk out into our lives this week and say, every person matters? Will you bring that out into the world in the midst of all of the division, in the midst of all the complaining, in the midst of all the negative from one side or the other? Lift it up and say, you matter to me. And even when the other person or the other group wants to let go, hold on for dear life, for that is the command, to love others more than yourself. Amen.